Hi, this is Danielle from the Gels Curator, and this is episode 37 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. And don't forget, at the end of February, Saatchi has offered to give away a $50 gift card to be used toward art on SaatchiArt.com. I'm going to draw one name from my Art for Your Inbox email list at the end of February. So if you already subscribe, your name is already in the draw. If you don't, and you want to, you can sign up by entering your email on my site, thejealouscurator.com. There's a little subscribe field just over to the left. Okay, so today's guest, I am just so excited for this. I am calling 9 hours into the future across the Atlantic to the beautiful city of Amsterdam. I have loved the work of Hagar Vardaman, I sure hope I'm saying that right, for years, and I've written about her countless times, so it's about time we finally talk. I know she's really nervous, so I'm going to call quickly before she changes her mind. Here we go, calling Amsterdam. Hello.
Hello.
Technology worked.
Oh, good.
How are you?
I'm perfect. And you?
Good. Are you freaking out?
I can't even describe it. It's so embarrassing. And I'm hearing your voice and I'm looking at a beautiful picture of your husband.
I know. I really should swap out his photo for mine. I use his machine to record. And so I use his account. And you know what? The photo you sent of you didn't come through.
No?
No. So I don't know what you look like either.
Oh, no. I will send it again.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. How can it be?
Well, it just was a blank photo. It just was a square, but like with a little error thing.
I'm just...
I thought the universe does not want us to know.
How do I look like?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe it's better.
Maybe. Wait. It's just a mystery. The mystery continues.
The mystery. I would just send you a picture of a fish.
There That's you go. A little happy red fish. Okay, first question I have. This is so embarrassing.
Okay.
How do you pronounce your name?
Hagar. It's H-A-G-A-R and it's, yeah, here. Got it. Send. Yeah,
okay,
Hagar.
Thank you.
Just call me Happy Fish. It's okay also.
And then which one is your last name?
Yeah, well, Vardaman is my first name and Van Hoomen is my husband.
Oh, okay.
But Vardaman is okay also. Sometimes it's, yeah.
Okay. That's it. Those are all my questions. I just needed to know how to say your name and what you look like. That's it.
Okay.
Easy. Well, thank you for joining me today. No, this is so exciting. You're my first. Well, I talked to Anthony Zinanos in episode 3, I think, and he lived in the UK at the time. But now he lives in California. So you're my first over the ocean interview.
I know. And I was so stressed about it. And I was telling, I'm freaking out now for days, of course. And I'm telling my husband, oh God, my accent. And I'm not a native English speaker. And what if I'm going to make all mistakes that I never do normally? And he's like, okay, she's going to tell you that it's not going to work. It's going to be okay. But she's going to tell you. So I trust you.
Oh, no, you have the cutest accent ever. And no, I love it. And I've had a bunch of people say, why do you only interview Americans? And it's just because it sort of, you know, happened that way. It's easy. Yeah. They're in this, you know, a lot of them are in my time zone and whatever. So we had to do some coordinating because we're 9 hours apart.
Yes. And now it's morning for you.
Yeah, it's morning. Yeah. I set my alarm to make sure I didn't sleep right through this.
And, really?
And it's dinner time for you.
It's exactly, and it's Dutch dinner time, which exactly 6 o'clock. My family is in the front of the house. They're not allowed to even get closer. All doors are sealed.
Do you have kids? That was the other thing I didn't know.
Yes, I have two. I have one girl, Romy. She's 11. She just turned 11, and my son is Liam. He's 5 and a half.
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
And actually, he wanted to talk to you. He said, yeah, it's so nice if I can say hello. I said, no.
Oh, they can say hello. Unlock all the doors and let them in. That's so sweet. My son is 9, so he's right in the middle of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big gap. I enjoy them both.
Yeah.
I just, It's so wonderful. Danielle, let me freak out for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Please, I'm just, one second. I'm just, wait. I need a deep breath because you're my hero and I can't believe it. I'm just talking to you and it's so easy. I'm in my studio now and I'm like, God, it's you. I adore you. You're my, yeah, my ultimate.
Oh my gosh, and that's why I always joke, like, that's why I have this podcast, so that I can phone you guys and you can tell me how amazing I am. Okay. And that's why
don't this podcast... Don't let me stop, huh?
Yeah, let's keep going, keep going. No, but it's so funny because I found your work so long ago. I can't even remember the first... I mean, I've written about you so many times. You and I have a very similar aesthetic.
Yes.
You know our work.
And some very parallel things in our history that came up, because when you sent me these questions, I thought, okay, they made me smile because I know where they're coming from. And but besides that, Danielle, I want to say thank you so much. So much. I so appreciate that you contact me and you asked me to do that. And everything that you wrote, you have such a main role in everything that I do, that I can't express it enough, because if I'm going to continue now, I'm going to cry. And I already have tears, so I'll cry now or later.
Oh, that is just so sweet.
You. No, because you're amazing. And you just, you know, the first time that I saw your blog, I just saw the title and I knew I came to the right place. I had a huge smile in my heart, a huge smile on my face, and it was years ago. And everything, you opened the door for me for what I'm doing now. Because the first time that I saw that what I'm doing now, it's art, I never knew what I was doing.
Mm.
And seeing your work and see other people work, and you're so generous, and thank you. So much.
Oh, well, you know, you're very easy to write. Did you feel like your work was like craft?
I think starting with a thread.
Yeah.
Although it felt the right thing for me, but I never thought about it as a craft, but I knew that I couldn't find the right niche for me.
Mm.
I didn't know where to categorize it. Is it? What is it actually? And yeah. It took me years after. It happened to you the same?
Exactly the same. Yeah, I was doing embroidery on my work too. Before I found you, I was doing embroidery and I was doing houses.
Yeah.
Very similar to you.
Really?
Yeah. That's why when I found your work, I was like,
Yeah. The house with the flame. Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah. And yeah. I was doing all that stuff at the same time as you. And it felt right for me. I was really enjoying working on them. But then at the same time, I was like, well, is it kind of cute or is it craft or is it? I didn't know where to put it. And then, so when I first started Jealous Curator, which was, oh my gosh, on February 22nd, it'll be 7 years. It's not crazy.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I just realized that. And so... I started looking for work with embroidery because I think I was trying to justify what I was doing. And so I started to find actually quite a bit of work. And I realized over the next probably 2 or 3 years, you started to see it more and more and more. And then suddenly it was like, wow, there's work like Emily Barletta and there's lists of them who were doing this in galleries. Yes. White-walled New York galleries had embroidery on the wall. And I was like, oh, okay. And so that kind of helped me. And then, I mean, yours too. I had you in that camp too. I never realized that you thought that of yours.
Yeah. And it's funny because for me also, I needed to look at some other people's work to say, okay. So it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
I never knew where to categorize myself. I hate a little, not hate, but... mixed media didn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it photography? Is it collage? What is it?
Mm-hmm. So do you think now?
I think for me, it was always collage. And I see it more now that I'm doing paper on paper and not thread on paper. It's more clear for me. But yeah, I don't know. It's just art and it is what it is. And I think now I feel much more comfortable with what I'm doing. But in the beginning, yes, I could never, even looking for galleries in the beginning, I just didn't know where to look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which gallery can I approach, where I'm fitting in? And I think thanks to you, and also that I was exposed to so many people who was doing embroidery also. But it's funny that you don't do embroidery also now.
I know, we both have. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. And I do miss it. Like I did a little show a couple of years ago in Seattle, and all of the work had embroidery on it. And I have them hanging in my living room, and I love them. And I actually have the beautiful piece. That was amazing. So you said you were going to send me a print, and I was like, okay, I'll take it.
I said a print?
You sent me a print, but then you also, there was an original in there too, which you didn't tell me you were sending. You told me you were sending. And I pulled the original out, and I was like, wow, this is an amazing print, because that looks like real thread. And then I was like, oh, and I cried. I was like, that's real. No. She sent me an original. I have it in my living room. I love it so, so much. So that's in my living room. My pieces are in my living room. The piece I did for my collage book has thread on it. And so I love it, but I don't know why. I've just taken a break. But then talking to you about doing this interview and, you know, looking at all of your new work, which is paper on paper, I was like, even this morning, I was like, maybe I should break out the thread. Because, I've taken quite a big break from it. I guess I've been trying to, I've been doing all these new pieces with a little bit of paint on them.
Yeah, oh, they're gorgeous.
And so I've been playing around in that camp. So I feel like adding thread to that is too much. So, but maybe I'll come back to the thread. Yeah. But will you come back to thread?
Yeah, of course. I don't feel that I left it. I think what I felt many in the last year that the embroidery work, it's so
tedious,
slow process.
Yeah.
That it started to build like a gap between what I wanted to make and what I was actually making. Mm. And I could spend hours on embroidery work and looking in that. And, oh, wow, I just did 1 square inch in 3.5 hours. And, that was not enough. And I just wanted to, I just needed a balance. And I think once I'm going to find my balance between making more collage paper on paper, it will be much more easy for me to go back to make the embroidery. I don't feel that I left it. I'm just doing a little bit. I just need a balance, I think.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. It takes so long.
It is.
And then I also found it caused a little bit of anxiety for me because I'd get the images down that I wanted down and I'd have my plan. And then if I messed up the embroidery, I'd messed up the whole thing.
Exactly.
And so I'd find that by, it's going well, it's going well, it's going well, I'm 3/4 done. I could just feel my shoulders tensing.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, this isn't fun. Like, this is stressful. Yeah. And so I think that's probably why I took a break. And the quick stuff is so great because if it doesn't work, on to the next.
Exactly. And it's all, I find it's so liberating
to
work like that. It's so fun. I have all my confetti circles on my table.
I love your new pieces with all the little dots. And so do you punch those circles?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Because I tried to do it by hand and the circle was not really perfect round. And you can tell it, you can see it, the shadow, you can tell it's not really as clean as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So I found these sponges and I use a really office old one that I still have. I think it was belonged to my father years ago. And I have a new one and I'm just punching and finding new papers, just handing every piece of paper in the house. And it's so fun, just put them together and then...
I know they tell an immediate story.
Yes. Yes.
That's what's so satisfying.
Yeah.
And can I ask, how do you hold, this gets technical, every time I interview a collage person, I need to know technique. How do you hold the little dots and put glue on the back? Do you hold them with your hand or do you hold them with like a little pincher?
Okay. Okay. There are two kind of works that I didn't do now because I'm so excited to make them now. So I'm doing a lot. So a few of them, don't freak out. Okay. I don't glue. I just make them. I take a good picture and that is it.
Ah, yes.
Aha. But the other ones, which, you know, you can tell on the spot when it's better ones than others. I use a glue stick. I tried so many. I tried the medium gel. Didn't work for me. It's called Prit. The P-R-I-T-T.
Okay.
It's a glue stick and it's natural ingredients, acid free. Blah blah, and it's just working. So I just put it. I normally have a little scissors or a pencil. I just hold one,
yeah,
and I just glue it on the side and put them. And sometimes they stick to my fingers, and the rest are yeah. But
okay, good to know. Anthony uses a glue stick too.
Yeah,
I cannot do that. I end up with more glue on me than on anything else. Yeah.
So what are you using?
I use a it's like a liquid glue. It's like white glue, that you'd use it in school as a kid, but it's, same thing, yada, yada, acid-free, archival. Yeah. The name of it is blanky on me. I'll put it in the post so that people know. And then I just have a tiny little paintbrush.
Yeah.
And I dip in it, and then I paint the glue onto the back of the piece and then put it down.
Oh.
Yeah, and it just gives me a lot more control, and then I'm a lot less messy by the end of it.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, you can't use too much of it because it's liquid, it sometimes will warp the paper.
Yeah.
So you have to just use a little bit, but it's really good glue, so it sticks really well.
Okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. I now have another technical question for you, and I don't want you to give away your secret, so if you don't want to answer this one, you don't have to. But how do you prevent the paper from ripping when you do the embroidery?
Okay, there's no secret about it. It's just gazillion time of tryout. I mean, what I'm using now is just a paper. It's 300 grams. It's got some kind of a canvas texture to it, and it's a big thicker. So, and the fact is that I could never manage to put two stitches too close to each other.
Exactly, because then it rips and then you've got one big hole. Yeah.
No, but because what I'm doing is more geometrical shapes, it's more these triangles and have a distance from each other, so I couldn't control it better.
Right.
But it's only the paper, and it took me a really long time to find that. I tried so many paper, thick ones and more thin ones, and with that texture, with the other one. This one, I think it's just for aquarelle. Paint and for me it worked the best.
You know what, so, I do when I use thinner paper, like if I use a watercolor paper that's not like, you know, 140 pounds, I put masking tape on the back.
You put a masking tape?
Yeah, on the back of the paper. And then when the needle comes through, it holds that hole, and then you can go quite close to it, and the tape will make the next hole keep its own space. Ta-da!
Daniel, you're a genius. And I'm just thinking, on your blog, it should be the technical corner. Like, woohoo!
Yeah, that would be cool, actually. A little help technical corner.
It's genius. I never thought about it.
I know. Give it a try. It'll change your world. You can stitch way closer together. Anyway.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Thank you. I don't know how I came up with that, but anyway.
It's brilliant.
Okay, so that's our technical 5 minutes. So let's get all artsy. I love that. What is the title of that series with the women with like the blobs over them?
The new one, the spots.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Do you just explore color and shape and vintage images, or do you have, is there stories behind them? Is there like, why do you love houses? Is there, you know, what's the reason you choose the images you choose?
Okay. The women is something else, but I think also both the women and the houses are 50s, sometimes late 40s, 60s images. And I love the period of time, of course, but more than that, sometimes I just love the paper they are printing on. Everything is so old, and I have a distance from it. But with the women, it's a bit different because I'm always try to cover them on the faces. And it's also because I feel that I'm using somebody else's face and somebody else's photo, and it's more sometimes I feel that I need to respect the fact that I'm just taking somebody else's photo and I'm just using it. Mm-hmm. But with the houses, it was different because in the houses, the whole theory of the houses was about, back then it was about contact and about connection. And I isolate them completely from their surrounding. And every thread there was about the contact between the house to himself and the place he is outside. And every, for me, every part of this series was tells the story. And the wonderful thing about it that I discovered later is working actually with series. It was so important for me, the process as an artist, to discover and to search. And it could be the houses or later with the faces. And the nice part about the houses that later I found that it led me to do the New Glory series, which was the first one I worked. And later, it was in the Robert Mann Gallery in New York. And it was beautiful exhibition, the embroidered image, it called. I was not there. It was 2014. And all my work was sold there. And while the gallery, the exhibition was still running, they asked me for three more works. And actually, I sold all the series from them. So it was wonderful. But it's all about, at the end, it's about memories and it's about connection. And I was thinking about it just some time ago that I called it Lonely House series, but actually today I would have called it Shelters. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is what the more what about. It's place of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was the houses. That's, and I'm so still doing houses. Yeah, now I'm doing more, a lot of windows I have on my table now. So and bridges and doors and yeah.
Are those on your website yet?
No, not yet. They're on my table.
Oh, they're on the table still. Okay, you let me know when they're on the site.
Yeah.
The thing for me in houses was I started because for years I'd been trying to capture this memory I had of my great-grandmother's house. It was sort of like a little mint house from the 40s. And she had a rose garden, like a crazy rose garden with pinks and reds. And she had a bird bath in the backyard. And I mean, I'm sure it rained there, but I only have memories of it being really sunny and roses and this little mint house. And I tried for years to capture that in a painting, and I was being really literal for the longest time, and I just couldn't capture that. And so I did some collages a couple of years ago that had a whole bunch of roses with this tiny little mint house sitting on top of it. And it finally felt like, there was no embroidery on that piece, but it finally felt like there. That's what it felt like to be at her house.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So there was a whole bunch of houses before that that were attempting to get to that feeling, and I just couldn't get there. And then finally one day I found this vintage rose book, and I find it very therapeutic to cut things out. Do you feel like that too?
Yeah, of course.
It's so like relaxing. Even when you have no plan, I could just cut stuff out for like 4 hours and that would be like a really fun Saturday for me. What a nerd. But yeah, and so when I cut out all these roses, I was like, and I stuck a little mint house on there and I was done.
And that was it.
And that was it. And I haven't really done houses. I think I figured it out and moved on. Anyway.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I think for me, because it's a memory actually. It's all these houses are, I think most of them are actually in the U.S. somewhere and are really isolated in forest and open fields. But something about them resonates, something that's...
Mm-hmm. You wonder what's going on inside. I do anyway.
Yeah. Like every one of them is a story. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is they have something to tell inside and outside. And I think that's what I love the most.
So I jumped right over my beginning questions.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about your history. Did you go to art school? Are you self-taught? Yes. Oh, you did. Okay, go.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I went to art academy. It was Bezalel Art Academy. And I couldn't find myself there. It was BFA degree, like a bachelor degree. But I couldn't find myself. I did painting with acrylic and with oil. But I was mainly experimenting there. I went to a jewelry department for some times, and I was in a ceramic, but I could never find my turn until the last year and a half that I found the animation department.
Oh.
And suddenly it was my safe haven during the school time. And I loved everything about it, the movement and the illustration, but most of all, it was about the storytelling behind it. And I just loved it. And it was dark and it was the cellar, and I could hide there for days. And in the last year, my father passed away. Mm-hmm. And it's like it changed the whole, the whole idea for me of working. When I graduated, I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't do any art anymore. And I knew that I had to do something else. And lucky me, back then, it was the Flash program.
Yes, I know Flash too.
Yeah. So I just loved it. And I could just, it was a program. I felt that I could express myself. It gave me an opportunity just to do it and enjoy it. And soon after, I got a really nice client. It was a big fashion retailer. And I went there to the office. They want a new Flash site, of course, like everybody back then. And I remember coming down from a very fancy office. And I literally ran to the next bookshop. I bought a book, Flash 3 it was. Came back home. And I was the whole night sitting with a pencil marking all the things that I thought going to be relevant to the website, because I never worked on it before. And it was wonderful. And I did it for years until after my daughter was born. Actually, and then I thought, okay, this is time to face, time of truth, time to face who I am and what I am, and start to do my art, just do it again. So, and I think when you asked me about the graphic part, that made me smile, because I knew, okay, I know where it's coming from. And I thought, a lot of artists that I know, and you one of them, that have some graphical background, use a lot of negative space and a lot of white around the work. And it's quite clean, because I think Anthony, that you mentioned before, have the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think something that I'm really attracted to this kind of work, but I can also see it from a distance. Like, okay, I know what you've been working on.
That's right. I know what your former life was. Yeah. That's so interesting. That's so funny. Yeah. So what, I mean, I did Flash too when I was in school. That was the, that's what we learned. When I was taking new media design in 1996. And Flash was so exciting, because you could tell a story.
You can do everything. And yeah. I did website, but I did mainly animation.
Same.
I loved it.
That's so funny. No wonder we're so connected.
Yeah. Funny.
Such a similar point. And you know, that is actually really interesting how similar we are, in that a lot of times if I write about somebody will comment and say, oh, you know, they ripped off so and so, this looks exactly like, you know, so and so from, you know, the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And I'll go and look at that other person's work, and they'll be very similar, and I can almost bet most of the time they don't even know each other exists, you know. Sometimes there's just like our work has a very similar thing, and it could look like we stole stuff from each other. Like, we both use plants, we both use houses, like thread, all this stuff, but we don't. And it's just so interesting that there's just some people, you know, sometimes there's just a collective conscious happening in the universe at that moment. Yeah. And then sometimes people have such similar backgrounds or such similar, like, you know, we're both interested in storytelling, or, you know, all these things, that your work ends up looking like you're kind of in the same camp.
We have to do exhibition together, one next to
Wouldn't
another.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Yeah, also the plants and also the green. And but yeah.
I know.
I look at it sometimes and I think, okay.
And Holly Chastain too has to be in the show. Do you know Holly's work?
For sure.
Yeah.
I adore her work.
Yeah. The three of us have a very similar thing going on. And she's got a boy and a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit older than yours. I think they're 15 and 13. But yeah, so there we go. There's the three of us, group show.
Okay.
Now we just need
Houses
a gallery.
Houses and plants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Houses and plants. We just need a gallery. And so I wanted to actually ask you about that, like with shows and galleries. So you obviously, you know, from a few years ago, feeling lost and not knowing how to approach galleries, you've clearly figured that out. So, how do you do that? Like, do you feel comfortable promoting yourself? And how do you go about doing that?
Well, the promoting part, when it's come to gallery, I must say that beside the first one that I tried to approach, they all came to me.
Yeah.
So it made my life much, much more easier because honestly, until now, we not know really how to approach. I still try to find out the right way to do it. And but promoting, let's say, online, it's much more easy. It's easy for me to put my work out there. It took me time, but now I feel much more comfortable since I discovered Instagram, actually, the last summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was that I started to do it much more intensely. And the courage that I got to put my work out there, especially the new collage, was thanks to Instagram because it was so easy. I said to myself, okay, it's a photo, it's a picture. I put it and we see. And
yeah. You get instant response. You kind of know if it strikes a nerve or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it did, and when it's a good, then you get good reaction, then I'm thinking, okay, yeah. So I'm on a good roll. And I will just continue. So it's perfect.
And Instagram is also kind of like your dark animation basement. Like you can kind of, like, you don't have to walk down the street and walk into a gallery and open up your book and show somebody. It's like, you can post it at 3 a.m. and then go to bed.
That's it.
And if it doesn't do well, you can take it down, you know. So
exactly.
It's kind of a really nice way to dip your toe into sharing your work.
Yeah, and it's also such a kind environment compared to other social media that I feel less comfortable there. But Instagram is so, I don't know, everybody's so nice.
I agree.
I agree.
It's so rare to get anything negative. It's so, yeah. Maybe because it's harder to leave a comment. You have to type on your phone and leave a mean comment. Maybe that's harder than the keyboard.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's a really nice crowd. I find that too with my feed. And And so you've had galleries just come to you. That's the other beauty of the internet, you know, because now you're out there. Your stuff is there. Your contact information is there. And instead of, you know, nobody knowing you exist and having to go around to these galleries telling them that you exist, your presence is online and they can come to you.
Yeah, and I think normally one show leads to another. But I'm still, this is one of the goals for me now for the coming years. Also, do more commission work, more that I like, editorial that I did recently quite a lot and I really enjoy it, and also gallery show. It's like the essence of my work, and I have something planned here in Holland, in Delft, and in other places, and I see what will come.
That's so exciting.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, thank
yay
you.
Okay, so you know what we have left?
Oh no. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Speed round. It's a really,
really
easy,
really
one.
With it.
It's a really easy one.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Ice cream or French fries?
Ice cream.
Okay, this is a generalization of Amsterdam.
Okay.
Do you have tulips in your garden?
Yes, we do.
You have to, or they kick you out, right?
What? No. But, you know, I will tell you where we got it from. It's hilarious because, you know, the President Obama was here in Amsterdam. It was a year and something ago. And he was landing in the Museumplein, which is right next to where the door. It's where all the big museums are.
Yeah.
And they had for him, they spray on the tulips, which is... I don't know how they did it. They spray the color of the flag. And when he left the place, they just gave it. And we just passed there accidentally. And they said, okay, just, do you want to have some tulips? And suddenly our garden was full with sprayed blue tulips on the garden. But they're still there. They're wonderful.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I have tulips in my garden too.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't get them that way. I just went to the garden center and bought some bulbs. But, you know, we have to buy special ones because we live on the side of a mountain and deer really enjoy eating the bulbs.
You have deer in your garden?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And they dig up my bulbs. So you have to use special ones that they don't, that they can't smell, that they don't like.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I have a, I had a bobcat in my yard, a moose, a bear.
No.
Well, I didn't see the bear. I just saw his poop.
No, really?
Yeah.
Hold on, you. Where do you live?
Canada. I live in a really small town on the side of this mountain. And so our house is 104 years old.
Wow.
And so I think the animals have been coming through this yard way longer than people have been here. And so I have to just let them pass through. But it's a little bit, scary sometimes.
But you know, it sounds like my dream house. We have to do house exchange one day.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're going to love it here.
I've flown through Amsterdam. My parents used to live in Brussels.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've been to Europe a ton because I would come every summer and every Christmas, but I actually never went to Amsterdam. I went to Paris a ton and a bunch of places, but I never went to Amsterdam. And my husband has done some work in Amsterdam, but I didn't go with him. And I've been invited now twice for Jealous Curator stuff to come to Amsterdam, and I wasn't able to come. And so it's calling my name.
Okay. So now it's calling again.
Yeah.
Even louder. You have to come.
Okay. Deal. I might be able, I was thinking, because I've got the big book tour coming up in the fall, and I've been invited to do some cool things in Amsterdam around the book tour, and I was like, should I go? And then, you know, once you're in Europe, well, then.
Yeah, it's around the corner.
Then you just pop around, and, you know, especially compared to Canada, it takes forever to get anywhere. In Europe, it's just like, oh, 3 hours to Paris, 2 hours here.
Yeah, it's really, from here, 3 hours to Paris.
Yeah.
And to Brussels also.
Yeah, I miss Brussels too. Okay, I'll let you know. I'm staying with you,
sure,
by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, last speedrun question, which kind of was what we were talking about. If you could have a show anywhere in the world, where would you want it to be?
New York.
Yeah.
Yes. Have to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just something about New York that gives you that stamp of, I made it. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Make it everywhere, exactly. And I did it once, and we need to do it again. And this time, I want to go there also.
Yeah, so, you didn't go.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It was, yeah.
Okay, well, if I go to Amsterdam, you have to go to New York.
Exactly. It's a deal.
Okay. Do your kids want to come and say hi?
Really? You want me to call
them?
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, okay, but I need, okay, I just need to let go for a second.
Okay.
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 Hello, say. Now, here. Say here and say hello. Say
hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Yeah, say I'm Liam.
I'm Liam.
Oh, nice to meet. How old are you?
How old are you? Say 5 and a half. Say I'm 5.
Doing 5.
It was a mix of Dutch a little bit. Oh, but it's really exciting. Now he's touching all the buttons that he should have. And
do your kids make art?
Yes, they are. Yeah, my daughters, yeah, both of them are really creative and they're doing a lot. And yeah,
that's,
I think,
cool.
As me as a child, yeah.
I wonder if they'll end up following you.
Yeah, you know, that you were doing now, start to do weaving, isn't it?
Oh, well.
We're talking about.
Yeah, in theory. I had a little bit of a stop because I am deathly allergic to wool.
Really?
Yes, my throat closes.
Oh, good.
And I thought what I bought was cotton, but it was wool. So I only got so far and I was like, oh my God, I could feel my tongue swelling up. And I was just like, oh no. So I stopped. I have to go and buy some cotton or acrylic or something, not wool.
Funny.
But almost so much yarn has like at least 10%
of wool.
Yeah. So sure. I really have to go and read the labels. And so when I do that, I'll get back on it. Because I do, it's really neat. Have you tried it?
No, I never, and I won't tell you because my mother used to weave. We had a giant loom in our house.
Wow.
And she used to weave these beautiful, beautiful, big wall hanging pieces. And she used to color her so they dyed the wool herself. And I still remember the smell of the wool in the house. And it's beautiful, but I never did it.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought sometimes that the reason I started the embroidery were somewhere because of the weaving of all the threads that were in the house all the time.
Yeah. I was wondering that actually about you before I called. I thought, I wonder if she's interested in weaving just because of the threads and the colors and all of that. You should try it.
I should.
Yeah.
I know. I have somewhere a small loom from her, but I think I will give it a try.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you inspired me.
Okay, well, I have no more speed round questions for you. That was easy, right?
Yeah, you were too easy on me, I know. Thank you.
Well, that was so fun. I am so happy to finally know your voice and find out more about you. And
thank you.
It was so cool. I'm so glad we were able to call across the Atlantic and
so
do this.
Easy.
Yeah, so easy.
I can hear you better than I can hear people on a mobile phone here.
I know. Well, we will have to figure out a way to do a show together for sure.
Please.
Yeah.
I adore your last series, Danielle, it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you. I'm finally having fun. I'm finally having, I cannot wait to get back in the studio. It doesn't feel like homework anymore. It feels like I just want to do nothing else and go in there.
Oh, but it's brilliant. And the colors that you're using and the titles that you give your work, it's they're brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
I could look at it for the first time and I thought, okay, when you find your turn.
Yeah.
So that is it.
Thank you. That's what I feel like too. And the titles are so funny because my husband and I had this big, what do you want to do with your life talk? And he said, do you want to be curating more shows? Do you want to be doing this? Do you want to be doing that? This was a couple of years ago. And I said, you know what? My favorite thing is writing, which I've never been trained in writing. And right after that, I got the deal for my new book, which is 10 chapters of me writing. It's not interviews anymore. And I love the process. And then when I start, I've been running around preaching and telling people to make art and face their fears. And I wasn't facing my fear of painting. And so I thought, right, I'm going to start putting a little bit of paint on this stuff. But I still want to do collage because it's where my heart is. And I loved them, but then I was like, I love writing so much that the titles to me are just as much a part of the piece as the paint and the collage bit. Exactly. It's almost like it's three elements. It's paint, it's collage, and it's a bit of writing.
Yeah.
And it feels like me. For the first time ever, my art feels like me. And I'm 42 years old, and I've been making art since I was born. And it's like at 42, I finally feel like, oh, there we go.
That's it. Yes. And you find it.
Yeah. What a relief.
And and it shows. It's like you can see it. It's brilliant.
Thank you. And I always love when I see a little comment from Happy Redfish. You have the nicest supportive comments. And I admire your work so much. So your compliments really, really mean something to me. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you all the time.
We'll just have a mutual love club going on here. No, you.
I just need a little photo of yours here next to me. Because you need a place here. You have a place here. Just so funny. Also, with the text, I used to do embroidery. Actually, one of my first works I did on embroidery hoops. And I did text with it. It was line illustration. I did it years ago.
Oh.
And the first one, that I love. I called it the Bed Air Day. And the text, it was so, it was exactly what it was, a part of the work. And when I look at your work now, I enjoy it so much. I look at the image, I read the title, and I said, ah, she nailed it again. It's so brilliant.
Oh, that is so
stories
sweet.
I can picture it on a hanging on the wall with a title next to it, as big next to it as a work. And
well, that's the hope. I hope, you know, I now actually feel confident enough that maybe it will be on a wall in a gallery at some point. So we'll see.
You have to.
We'll see. Yeah.
Now we're just thinking about you, of course, on the last few days, definitely. And I thought, yeah, but it's not just that you are a jealous creator, because that's not, you know, the jealousy is there, is not there anymore.
No.
But it's, you're so the curious creator.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you're so curious. I think your curiosity just brings so much to so many people, that you're sharing your work and you're sharing the work of others, and you're so open to so many forms of art. And I love your podcast. I can't tell you how many times I listen to every one of them.
Are you going to listen to you?
I doubt it.
That's what everybody says. Nobody wants to listen to their own.
No, God.
Make your husband listen to it.
Of course, somebody always force him, of course. Yeah.
That's what Lisa Golightly did. She made her husband listen and report back if she sounded an idiot or not.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to tell me only the good side. Only if I sound good. Otherwise,
you sound great. This was so good. Your accent is the cutest thing ever. And I know, I just loved it. I'm so happy we did it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will see you, little happy redfish, on Instagram.
Yes. I'm going to see you soon.
Okay. I'll let you know if I'm coming to Amsterdam in the fall.
You should. When the book is going to be released?
I think the beginning of October. I know.
Oh, exciting. Yeah. And you finished already? You finished
I'm done, everything. Yep. Chronicle is just, Martha Rich just finished the cover. And they're going to put it all together and it'll be sent off to print. And I'll probably get an early release copy for me in like maybe July. And then it'll be on shelves in October.
Oh, God.
I know. That's going to be terrifying.
I can't wait. I love it. I have two of your books here.
Well, hopefully you have a third on the shelf.
I'm going to have the third one. Don't worry. For sure. I told you there is a real club here in Amsterdam. Adoration. Danielle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And you're so amazing. I didn't even freak out.
No, you were good. You were calm. I was going to trick you and tell you that we weren't recording yet and then just do the whole thing. And then at the end go, ha-ha, I recorded the whole thing.
That's a good trick.
Yeah, I know, right? That's my plan for super nervous people. But you were good and you didn't even need alcohol.
Only a coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good indication.
I think we both have a new friend now.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, now I'm letting you go because it's past 6 o'clock dinner time in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, I'd already had their dinner.
Yeah, and I've got I've got boys waiting for breakfast, so.
Okay. Now, one of them that I was looking at him, saying, thank you, Brad, Greg.
Oh, last I will. Yeah, you're looking at Greg that whole time, yes.
Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And enjoy your studio time, and I will see you soon, I hope.
Soon, for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love that so much. Houses, embroidery thread, old photos. I think I may have just met my soul sister. Thanks so much to Hagar for missing her 6 p.m. dinner to talk to me. Thank you to Liam for popping in to say hello to all of us. Of course, thanks to Saatchi Art for their continued support. And that $50 gift card for one of you at the end of February. And always a great big thanks to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.